May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 806, the first part. Christ is the friend of sinners, be that forgotten never. A wounded soul and not a whole becomes a true believer. To see sin smarts but slightly, to own with lip confession is easier still. But oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. Hymn 806.
Thank you. Let us read together for our instruction from the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 3 and 4. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapters 3 and 4. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistles written in their hearts, known and read of all men. Forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, much of which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil up over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away. In the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Lord bless his own word to us and help us to pray. Gracious and merciful Lord God, we appear again at thy footstool, at the throne of grace, and we come, O Lord, seeking thy gracious help, revealing thy good mercy to us as revealed in the gospel. We seek the Spirit's application of the word to our hearts, so that the ministry may not be in vain. We pray that thou, O Lord, wilt abundantly bless and grant thy rich provision to be known, and to bring that consolation to those that are gathered here this evening, and those that are detained, whether through parental responsibility, through sickness, or through any other cause, if it be a right cause, then we pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless them also. And that which was heard this morning in their hearing, they may consider further in their homes or wherever they may be. And so we pray thy blessing, Lord, upon them. We do, Lord, desire that thou wilt now grant the opening up of thy truth to our own hearts, so that we are not left destitute. Lord, may we not just come and go, that my way come, and if we come with nothing, then to go home with something. And if, Lord, we have come with something, that we do not lose what we've already got, but also may find there is an increase in knowledge and understanding, that there should be a growing in that grace, that we may receive of thee some benefit to support us through the week that we have now entered upon. And Lord, thou knowest all that may face any one that is here gathered. And Lord, oh, may it be a preparation. If there are those things too hard, then through the word that has been heard, we may look alone to him who is able to give us wisdom, and to be able then to see the working out of those things which are too hard for us. And if, Lord, there are things that come suddenly, whether it be affliction or loss, and a sorrow may fill our hearts, yet we pray that we may find that the word comes again into our heart to comfort and to strengthen us. And we do pray, Lord, that through the word there may be the confirming of those things to our hearts, that we are amongst the company of thy dear people, and that we are on that journey, passing through life, seeking a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, that we may have that hope, wherein we may find our expectation is sweetly enlarged with every consideration of that which is laid up for thy people, and therefore for me. Oh, what a mercy it is if we can feel that we are to be gathered amongst the sacred throng when all are gathered home, that we may join in that everlasting song, in singing the love of God, the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We do pray that thou wilt grant thy mercies upon this cause of truth, the neighbouring causes. Lord, we are thankful that their gatherings do have a goodly number, though there are those neighbouring causes where there are but a few. We would desire, Lord, to pray that there should be a godly increase granted to such, and that they will maintain and continue to favour those that thy servants to minister. Lord, we would pray that they would bless the word richly. We do, Lord, pray for pastors, that they may be encouraged and supported and upheld in their path. Lord, we know it's not always easy. There are many things to cast down and to trouble. But Lord, we are thankful that thou still dost work. And when thou dost work, then who shall let it? Who can hinder? Who can oppose? Who can frustrate? As it has been amongst the people here, one who has ventured, and whatever her fears may have been, whatever opposition she may have felt within, whatever trials may have assailed, but Lord, we pray that she may be granted that sweet and blessed confidence as she awaits the day to pass through the waters of baptism. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt grant thy rich mercy, and that she may feel to have that good conscience toward thee, and that thou wilt bless her and those unto whom she is joined in that union of the Spirit. And Lord, it is that which we desire, to see Zion's offspring brought to testify of thy rich goodness and mercy to undeserving sinners. So we commend unto thee, Lord, the varying churches, even in their low state, and that thou wilt yet bring in such who shall be saved, that there may be that adding to the church. Lord, we are thankful that the coming of such is certain, though we may not see the evidence for a little while, until thou dost work. And there does bring, and there does cause such to feel that sense of liberty, oh, to know the liberty of the Spirit. And we do pray then that there were so granted amongst our churches and denominationally, we need thee to appear. Oh, rend the heavens and come down. And so, Lord, hear us in these things. We pray thy mercy upon the sick and the afflicted. We are thankful for those that have come through operations and have had a measure of healing or and improvement. There may be setbacks, but Lord, may it prove only to be for a moment, temporary, and then that they may continue to gain strength. We pray for those in bereavement, and that thou wilt encourage them in their sorrows, or that thou wilt comfort them with the comfort that thou alone canst give. Lord, that thou canst truly sympathize, whereas we may be able to if we walk the pathway, or even perhaps a witness to it. But Lord, how often men's sympathies, though well intended, yet they can only be so when such have walked the path. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant thy mercies upon our young, the rising race. Oh, we do feel for them in all that they may have to face. We do not know, Lord, what is before them, but we know the changes that have taken place in the course of our life, the downward trend, the evils that now abound. Things come about that we could hardly have thought would ever happen. And yet, Lord, we are faced with situations, and we have to say we know not what to do. except as Jehoshaphat, who set his eyes were up unto thee. And there, Lord, we would have our eyes up unto thee, as we bear before thee the future generation, and as we bear before thee our nation at this present time, and all the frustrations that have been known, and that we may see that done for the country's good, and done, O Lord, that thou mayest be honoured and glorified, and rather than mocked and set aside. Oh, we do pray that thou would appear. We do, Lord, therefore pray for our leaders, that they may be given much wisdom and help to do what is right. We pray, Lord, that the those that oppose may find that they cannot get or gain much ground, but rather that the that the betrayers of our nation may be brought to nothing. We would, Lord, pray that there would appear in the world scene, Lord, we have heard the noises of war, so to speak, that, Lord, which has taken place. Oh, they there be then now a quietening and a return to a peaceful state between the nations. We will not be as those that would cry peace, peace, when there is no peace. We know that there is no solid, real peace in the world, and never can be, whilst there is sin, whilst there is Satan stirring up, whilst evil abounds. Oh, but Lord, may it be that thou dost, for thy people's sake, watch over and preserve them from the dangers that could arise, and dangers that in some places have arisen. We pray that thou wilt yet make thyself known and bring in relief to some that have suffered or have been put in great fear because of the fires that have raged or the waters, the floods that have arisen. Lord, we pray that thou wilt subdue, assuage the waters and damp the fires, and again that men may be able to settle back in their abode. Some have been lost their homes, or that they may be enabled to again rebuild and settle. And so, Lord, we commend them to thee. And now, Lord, do hear us in all things. Pardon us of our every sin. All that we've uttered amiss, forgive. We ask it in the worthy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 941. Jesus, my Lord, my life, my all, prostrate before thy throne I fall. Fain would my soul look up and see my hope, my heaven, my all in thee. 941.
As the Lord may be pleased to help me, I direct your attention to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 4 and the first verse. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 4, and the first verse. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. As it is set before us in the previous chapter, there are two ministrations. There is the ministration of the Spirit, and there is the ministration of condemnation or of the law. Moses, there stood before the people, and when he condemned them, because of a broken law, so they suffered the consequences and had to drink of the dust of that which they had idolized and that which they had blasphemously asserted, that these be our gods that brought us up out of Egypt, denying the mighty hand that had brought them. But when Moses was brought seeking to offer an atoning offering and stood before God and pleaded to know who should go before, and the Lord said he would send his angel, but Moses required his presence, and so the Lord mercifully and graciously spoke concerning his presence to go with him. And Moses took it up and said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. So Moses and the people, they were in the hands of God, and they were to know his mercy. But Moses would desire that there should be yet the evidence and confirmation. And so he pleaded, show me thy glory. Now the glory of the ministration of condemnation had been seen. When the Lord came down upon Sinai, and it smoked, and the voice of God was heard as a trumpet, and the people could not receive it. They desired that Moses may speak to them and approach unto God on their behalf. And so Moses became the mediator of that dispensation at that time. And so he would appear before God there in the tabernacle that was set up and called the tabernacle of the congregation, not the tabernacle that was yet to be made and erected under the instructions that God had given Moses. Moses had not long descended from the mount. Therefore, this tabernacle or tent was raised. But there the Lord would in mercy appear. And so Moses would have a little realization that through what the Lord had spoke of that ministration, which he saw but afar off. There as he stood, in the place that the Lord had prepared for him, a place by me, and there shalt stand upon the rock. So he had a little glimpse of this ministration that is found in our text. The Spirit, the Gospel, that which may speak of mercy and show compassion and bring blessing to the poor, hell-deserving sinner, one condemned by the law, but released through the Gospel. So the words, the immortal words that came from the apostle's pen when writing to the Romans, as he may speak of his own weakness and finding that often overcome by sin, the good that I would I do not, the evil that I would not that I do, how to perform that which I would I find not, O wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. And observing therefore that with the mind, now quickened, made alive, he served the Lord of God, that which was now pleasant, because he walked it in love. He walked it because Christ had been made precious to him. He knew the power of that atonement, which was brought upon his heart and conscience. Ah, the precious blood, that which can remove all our sins. Yes, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Therefore, not to Sinai's place shall we go, but rather to the heavenly Mount Zion, and find with the innumerable company that have gathered and still gather there, that we may know the remission of sins. And now we find that the apostle goes on and says, there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy. Well, the Lord spoke to Moses concerning mercy, as we spoke this morning. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And when Moses, therefore, stood upon that rock, the sure and precious foundation of liberty and deliverance, that which would convey to us that through the rock we may receive all of that will bring our deliverance and bring satisfaction. There was the merits of our Lord and Saviour, that we may be accepted in and through those merits. We have none of our own. How we have to prove it. But his merits we can plead. And have we not had to plead them often? Daily, I repent of sin. Ah, daily look to Jesus' blood. Then you will find that there You have the precious ministry that the apostle is speaking of here. We have this ministry, a ministry which is thus preached, is set before us. But it is that ministry of grace. Now, Moses was to stand upon that rock. Well, you will remember that David spoke of the Lord as his rock. This was the rock that would equip him in through every scene and with every difficulty and trial and conflict and opposition. It will be the grace that comes from the rock. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well then, as the rock upon which Moses stood, he stood upon the truth, but he also stood that he may prove that through the grace of God, every blessing should flow. It should be grace for grace. And that grace is found in Christ alone. The grace of the gift. The grace of the provision. The grace that comes through him who was to be slain, has been slain, and now how is he to be viewed? As John spoke in retailing the case of John the Baptist, who proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So John, in his revelation, would set before us the Lamb in the midst of the throne as it had been slain. So this ministration is an everlasting ministration, an everlasting ministry, a ministry which will still be set before us when we are brought to heaven. What it has done for sinners, and now gathered around a throne, we shall forever rejoice. It will be the wonder of wonders. It is indeed a miracle if you and I should ever get to heaven itself. When you consider your own wretched heart, fickle, so ready to turn aside, so often overcome by the tempter who would tempt you, sometimes to give up, sometimes to cast things away that you should hold, sometimes to hold things that you should cast away and don't. Sometimes with the many stumbling blocks that are in the way, we seem to make small progress, if any at all. And therefore we fear that in the end we shall be as a castaway, make shipwreck, brought to nothing. But we have this ministry, which is the ministry of life, eternal life. And if once we have received that grace and mercy of our God through Christ, it can never be lost or taken away. Never. All that has been done by Christ and what he has made us in Christ, then we shall possess it forever and ever. We do have the two natures. We prove it, don't we? Yes, there is the conflict, the warfare. And we may be laid very low at times in our soul's feelings. Our assurance may seem to be almost gone. No confidence. What you are experiencing, friends, is this, that you can have no confidence in the flesh. Therefore, cast yourself upon the one who is our confidence. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence is in Christ. Cast not away therefore your confidence, for it hath great recompense of reward, that after you've done the will of God, ye shall receive it, ye shall inherit the promises. Ah, the promise, yea and amen. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. We faint not. Well, at this ministry, Moses had this ministry, even though he was of that dispensation, of the ministry of a condemnation, with a little view. He looked to the end of that which would unfold in fulfillment. The types and shadows would all then center upon the actual reality. The types would give place to the antitype. Therefore, all the mercy that may be seen in those offerings that were made, and therefore a felt sense that there was to be a way made into the holiest of all. Aaron, every year, had to make an entrance, but it was nonetheless to confirm the people that there would be an entrance to be made once and for all. Not by an earthly priest, but by him who came upon this earth and was indeed a man, a real man. But Aaron could only make an offering of a beast. He could not stand in the place of the coming sinner. But Christ, the man, would stand in the place of his people to suffer, to bleed and to die. Now, let me be plain. Christ is the God-man. Yes, divine, as much as he may have taken flesh to dwell amongst us. But God cannot suffer. In a sense, he cannot bleed. But the incarnate God, he may suffer and bleed, and be an offering for his people. He made his soul an offering for sin. What is more, he offered that body that he may bear in our body the sins of his people on the cross. Well, now we see then our blessed high priest who ministers. This is the ministry that we may preach of Christ who ministers in heaven itself, making intercessions for us. We could not encourage you to come to the mercy seat and put forth your petition if we did not have an intercessor, an advocate with the Father. But we have our Lord and Saviour as both, and an advocate who has as such a power, ability to present our case. And how? Why? Because he has borne all that was against us. The handwriting against us, he nailed it to his cross. The sins that deserved death, he died for the ungodly. Oh, the ungodly. I'm an ungodly sinner. I am a sinner and nothing at all. But Jesus Christ is my all in all. Can you say it, dear friends? Say it tremblingly. Say it in hope. Say it with this realization that it is the only confidence that you can have, that Jesus Christ may be to you the all and in all. You may perhaps feel how far short. You have these things, feel these things, and have experienced these things. But if that is your hope there, cast the anchor. It will hold fast upon the good ground of faith. And faith seeks that good ground and only finds it in Christ. It won't find it anywhere else. Not in a man's will or ability, nor in his many duties. No, he will only find it in the finished work of his Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Well, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We faint not. Let me speak about the ministers themselves. Moses, he was the leader, as we said this morning, of the people. He was their minister. He was their prophet. He was the one that would approach unto God on their behalf. This was Moses. He had been called to it. And so it is with those who not only prophesy, but also the priest, Aaron, he was called to it. He didn't enter upon the office, except there be that appointment, divine appointment. So it is with the ministry today. There is a calling. That calling is known as the Spirit may testify, often with a still small voice. Anointing with the grace that is required to minister in the gospel. And you may feel inadequate. Moses did. He said, send whom thou wilt. But he was a man of slow speech, a man who did not feel adequate in himself. Those that have to bear this ministry will never feel adequate. As the apostle writes in that we read, who is sufficient for these things? Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Every time a man enters into the pulpit, dear friends, he has to prove that his sufficiency is of God. He may have spent his hours seeking that what may be said, what the scripture he may bring before the people. And it is a labour. And he may then come up empty. But it is proved, I believe, by the Lord's servants, even if their mouth was closed, that their sufficiency is of God. And that is what you've got to venture upon when called to this work. I bring this before you, dear friends. I do not know what your personal exercises are, but it's been laid upon my mind that if there is an exercise with regard to this ministry, you will know that you'll have to stand where Moses stood, a place by me. And you will find that it is a sure and certain place that will enable you to minister in the word. Seek some place of your own notion, and you will soon find, and it will soon be found, should I say, that you'll be brought to nothing. But that is how we continue. We stand in that place by me. And we have to be wholly dependent upon the Spirit giving the unction and the power. And also the application of the word. It is for the husbandmen to sow their seed, not knowing what will prosper this or that. And sometimes we may gather and sometimes we may not. It is recorded that the sower may sow the seed, but another may reap. Some enter into the labours of others. But may we be as workers together. You know, it's not just one bee that makes the honeycomb. It's many. And so that is the work of the ministry. And though there are pastors and teachers and evangelists, and the apostle, of course, would have headed it with apostles. Without the foundation which was laid, for there is no other foundation that is laid than that which is laid, and that is Christ. Therefore, that is the very ground of this ministry. But there are labourers. And so we see and find that it is through one, and maybe through another, and yet another, that the work is accomplished in the hearts of the hearers. And why should it be like this? That no man may glory in himself. The work of a sinner being brought must be to the honour and glory of God. And when such may venture, humbled with a sense of their unworthiness, they may stand in wonder and say, why me? Why me? When you find there are those, perhaps they may be near to you in ties of blood, you've been singled out, perhaps the only one of your family. Why me? With some of us it may be that we have those others, whether brothers, sisters, parents, children, offspring, where the work of God is known. And we do find, according to the psalm, that he gathers his sheep together in families like a flock. And so often the work of grace is seen amongst those who, by many prayers over their loved ones, see that work. That work appear, and it is so amazing. Well, it is, to use John Newton's words, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost and now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy. Mercy undeserved. That is what mercy is. Indeed, really, to say mercy undeserved is almost a contradiction or an unnecessary addition. Mercy is undeserved. And if you have received mercy, and it's not because of anything that you have done to merit it, this is the ministry. And in that we see clearly that Christ gave his all for his own dear people. He laid down his life. And this ministry sets before us this. He had power to lay it down, authority to lay it down. He received it of his Father. It was a commandment. And he, in a blessed, glorious, yet humble obedience, he came and did his Father's will. Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And if our Lord and Saviour, our glorious King, the King of Kings, should do the will of the Father, the will of God, in his condescension, then, dear friends, is that the reason that if we should ever say thy will be done, it will be because of his willingness to do for us what we ourselves would not do, could not do? If we ever have any will, dear friends, to seek after Christ, and to be found walking in his footsteps, is because it is through him who willingly fulfilled what his Father gave him to do. And let there be that willingness found in the true believers that have a hope in the mercy of God. A hope in the mercy of God may cause you to run in his commandments and not to be slack in it. Oh, that you may therefore seek to be found as followers of him, not only. You may say, but there were secret disciples. Yes, there were secret disciples. And they had a place in heaven. But that's no excuse. Let there be a time brought about through the sovereign purpose of God. And may you not be left to stop your ear to the gracious call. Follow thou me. It matters not what others may do, or what others may say, or what others may have, or what others may be. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. A humble hope in the mercy of God. We are therefore seeing we have this ministry. As we have received mercy, we faint not. But what of you who have made a profession for so many years? And you may say, and we on the way are no farther yet. You may say, much shame. Sometimes I hardly dare lift my head, because I'm such a poor thing, such a wretched sinner. But we have this ministry. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry whereby sinners may be accepted Therefore, sinners who may be called and brought to know the change, a change in this sense, that we now have the Spirit of life, and the Spirit of life, and the light of life. Will it altogether dispel the darkness of the old mind and your old wretched heart, deceitful heart? The old mind, the old deceitful heart doesn't change. The light will reveal, though, how very wretched it is. And therefore, when you hear some say that they only get worse rather than better, that is in themselves, it's because the light of truth makes them know how very vile they are. You may have thought yourself to be a vile sinner when you came, or when you had that first hope. But what do you know of him now? What do you know of yourself now? But we may then say, what do you know of him? Well, you may say, when the Lord constrained me, he seemed to lead me forth, draw me to himself, brought me into the banqueting house. His banner over me was love. I had sweet tokens for good granted to me. Now it seems so very different. I feel my own hard, wretched heart. Carnality rising up. Indifference, coldness, faintness. The ministry hasn't changed. The word of God hasn't changed. The promises haven't changed. God's faithfulness hasn't changed. Take courage, poor soul. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon thee, and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and light. And ye shall find rest for your souls. Are you trying to look within to obtain some comfort? Look to Christ. Look to Christ. The hymn that we sometimes sing, when in reference to the coming sinner, may be also relevant to us at any stage of our spiritual journey. Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is willing. Yes, he is willing. Doubt no more. There we find the hymn writer bringing this encouragement. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. And to feel that need of him is to look up. But let me carry on. This he gives you. This he gives you. 'Tis the Spirit's rising beam. Come ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. How true that would be. It's not the righteous. Not the righteous. Sinners Jesus came to call. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Now, the man in the pulpit, dear friends, and if there's anyone exercised about this, you may say, well, I'm not good enough. You need to be bad enough to be able to preach to poor sinners. The apostle said concerning himself that he was the chief of them. But he gloried in this faithful saying, this ministry. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's what has got to be preached. And when it's preached, and the Holy Spirit uses the instrument for the honour and glory of God, then we shall see the effects. It is a great concern, you know, to the servants of God when they look around and they watch and desire to see the fruits of the ministry. Not so much their ministry as though it was them, but the ministry which is here spoken of. This ministry. We go on, Sabbath after Sabbath, weeknight service after weeknight service, year after year. We say, where are the fruits? Are the people silent because they do not know, have not received, are dead? Or is it because they are holding back, as it were, not testifying, not found as those? Perhaps I'll stop, pause and ask you the question. Do you feel that you're one that fears God? Do you desire to fear God? Well, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. But we find even amongst us ministers, there seems to be a lack of spiritual conversation, and I'm the worst of the culprits. Oh, that I had a ready tongue, the tongue of a ready writer. There's something, dear friends, that seems to bar us from it, and why? Oh, why? Is the spirit displeased? We need for that spirit to be poured out from on high. And may it be so. May you plead it. May we each desire it. And then, what happiness shall be known when we can testify one to another of what the Lord has done. Well, dear friends, may you feel that there is that sacred drawing unto Christ, because He has shown you a little of that sympathy in your wretched condition, and in passing by, may speak the words to you, live. This ministry, therefore, see, we have this ministry as we receive mercy, we faint not, but we continue. Though we may say with the psalmist, I'd almost fainted, except I'd seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But it's goodness and mercy that the Lord does pour forth. And it's goodness and mercy that David was able to say, shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It may be a blessed, a certainty with your soul, faith being in exercise, but it may be a longing desire. And may that desire soon realize the blessing that it seeks. And that you may know, yes, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Then follow him. Follow thou me. Well, my time is gone. I must leave these things. May the Lord pardon what has been amiss in me. And he himself be glorified in the application of the word, which may be made life and power to your soul.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £660, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Ridout next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School. And our friends at Pokington hold their New Year's services on Wednesday. And the baptism of our friend Sarah, God willing, will take place on Tuesday, the 28th of January, by Mr. Richard Field. Let us close with hymn 579. Salvation, O my soul, rejoice. Salvation is of God. He speaks, and that almighty voice proclaims his grace abroad. 579.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.